right. Trent Richardson will be the fourth captain this week. And I guess another little piece of business. Our rookie quarterback turns 29 on Sunday. So, I mean, that was a joke. It was a joke. All right. And so, no, we're looking forward to getting the preparation going for the Bengals. Our first walkthrough was good, and their attention was good. And looking forward to getting them on the practice field. This is always, you know, as you move through the process of going through the process of correcting mistakes from losses and wins, now we get to actually go on the field and get ready for the next team. And I think all 32 teams do that, unless you're involved with a bye. So we're excited to get the preparation going and get after the Bengals. So I'll take your questions.
Going to be out of practice today?
We'll see. We'll see. Yeah, he was in the building and in all the meetings today.
Scott Fujita.
I'm not going to. Okay.
Scott Fujita.
Yeah, he's out there.
He's practicing. Do you know about his appeal? Does he plan to?
Yeah, you know what? You'll have to ask him what he plans to do, because this is a league issue between him and the league. And so I haven't been informed anything more than what the official report was yesterday. And so we're proceeding as though he'll be ready to play this week.
One person you didn't mention Monday when we went through the injuries, mm-hmm. and just want to see if there isn't. Is Jordan Norwood available, or where is he?
We'll see how he progresses through the week. Yeah.
With Joe coming back, when do you have to make a roster move?
Yeah, assuming that our roster is the same as last week, we'll have to make a roster move there, and we'll make those moves here later in the week. Yeah.
Have we talked with you about this before, but yeah. Winning at home, I mean, yeah. As you try to build something, this has to be one of the first things you try to lay the foundation
for. Sure, sure. You want to win every game, certainly, and you like it to – most of the time happen at home so that you create that home field advantage, which is tough for the opponent. You know, we get that. And this is a division game. And so it's kind of a double whammy there. Win a division game at home would be great for our young team.
Would you anticipate Joe Hayden can be, you know, given the layoff?
Well, I think he'll be extremely sharp. talking with him about how he spent his time away and knowing the kind of condition and what kind of shape he keeps himself in, I'd anticipate physically he'll be sharp. And now it's just a matter of going out there and practicing and getting his sea legs back this week so that he's ready to go on Sunday.
Can you create kind of boost or lift in the locker room as a return for you guys?
I think he's back in the lineup and he's playing. And he's one of our better defensive players. And so, you know, by the essence of somebody's presence, sometimes that can happen. And I anticipate he's going to go out there and battle, just like all the other guys.
Does it mean you can't go? Would you play Buster in the slot, or is that Trevin Wade?
We'll see.
I mean, you have Buster going to play on the outside this year, right?
Yeah, we got Buster and Sheldon and Trevin and Batamosi. And so we'll get the right combination with Joe.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
About this before, your rookie quarterback the last two games has thrown costly interceptions. Is it tough for a guy who's five games into learning the league to balance between being aggressive and when to be smart and fight for the next down?
I don't think it's tough to balance it. I think you continue to inspire him to do the right thing with the football. You want a guy that's aggressive with the ball because you like to squeeze out all the offense you can out of every play. You know, I think we've found a way to complete deeper balls this year than we did last year, you know, which is important. But then you also want to balance it with efficiency. And so it's a fine line. Now, how do you go there? Well, what you do is you continue to practice and work, and you keep going through all the situations and all the progressions over and over and over. And then he gets a feel for the guys he's throwing to as well. And so in each situation, it's very important he does the right thing with the football. You know, I've talked about this before. When a quarterback goes through a game, if he throws the ball 35 times, then he's got a decision-making grade, he's got an accuracy grade, he's got a timing grade based on the plays and when we called them. And so you just try to get all pluses in all areas, and I think that's what you're shooting for.
With him, is it better that he's already kind of on the aggressive side of the ledger? I mean, you can kind of reel that in rather than, you know, talking to a guy about taking chances?
I think so. I think that's an important thing, where when you talk about being aggressive, you know, there's a confidence, there's a built-in confidence there, and there's a guy that has some skill and ability, and you need that. And then what you do is you just work him through the system, and as I mentioned, in the progressions, so that he's constantly being reminded to also be smart with the football.
Has interception issues been more a matter of making the wrong decision or making the right decision than just throwing an inaccurate pass?
Well, it could happen for all reasons. The ball could have been tipped, for instance. The ball could have hit the receiver in the chest, and it popped up. He could have just made a bad throw. So it happens. As I watched him, and I watched all the interceptions, it's a combination of all those things. And then there are certain situations where you can't save the play with your arm. You either run it or throw it away. So there's that's all of it.
I think the one game maybe Brandon didn't throw a pick was the first Bengals game. It also happened to be Trent's best game.
That's a great combination. Huh? No, I'm seriously.
Yeah. I mean, that the more Trent produces, right, the less Reed feels he has to make the play.
Well, I don't know if that's the case. I think we talked about the Bengals game and how he had learned in that game to take some checkdowns, all right, which, you know, he checked the ball down to Trent and then he ran it in one time, and then I think he was better than he was in the Philly game. And so it all ties together, you know.
Is there a number you have in your head of how many touches in a perfect world you'd like to have Trent have a game, as long as, you know, it's not if you don't get down by 14 points where you are having to throw the ball?
Well, he needs to be involved throughout the game, start to finish. And, you know, he was involved in, I think, close to 85% of the snaps last week, which is his highest total to date. I think you guys all have the information. I'm rounding up just a little bit, but that's about right. And I think it's safe to say when you have a guy coming back from a minor knee injury that you start to ramp it up that way. And so, and he produced. So, but it's important for Trent to be involved start to finish. And, of course, for a running back, everybody looks at just the rushing yardage. Now, the way the game goes also dictates some of that, and we all know that.
When you made the corrections from that Giants game, what are you going to be able to do to make sure that teams don't run on you as well? Because you talked about how they block, how the Giants block so well to get –
Yeah, I think they block so well. I think what's important, too, is there's times when they get you blocked at the point of attack, and then the rest of the defense fits it all up, and you just make sure they don't get more than their 6 or 8 yards. We had a couple of situations in that game where they got big yards where we could have minimized the effect. So it's team defense, and it sounds cliche, but you go over it and over it and over it. Making sure everybody is attacking their blockers, defeating the block, addressing their gaps, and making sure that where the runner tries to find a place to run, there's somebody standing in every gap. And I think that's important.
Will be an easy adjustment to make sure that doesn't happen?
Well, we're going to sure work on it. And we expect that the results will be good. So.
How have Wynn and Hughes been against the run so far?
I'm sorry, I missed.
Billy Wynn and John Hughes?
Yeah, they're pretty good. Pretty good. I think they can get better, you know, and there's a lot going on there. Get lined up properly. Defeat your block, right? Address your gap. Separate, make a play. So there's a lot going on in there, and they can continue to improve, just like everybody on defense.
We don't know how Ruben's going to be for Sunday, but if those two guys, how much of a challenge would it be? Two rookies, if you're two starting.
Well, I think if they are asked to play more than they have, they've got 5 games under their belt, you know, and you know, I think Ismaili Kitchen will help out in there, and we'll do what we have to do to make sure we put fresh bodies in there. And no, I'm confident that they'll They'll answer the bell.
Coach, can you, over the past few days, or actually since the game on Sunday, and maybe you're not aware of this, but you have come under a lot of heat for, you know, your ability to handle some second guessing or handle some criticism or things
heat.
Like that.
Heat, okay.
So my question is, can you just respond to the criticism of you for not being able to handle second guessing and not being able to handle criticism? How do you think you're handling those things, you know, during this?
Not being able to handle being second guessed. I tend to handle it fine, I think. I mean, how it's perceived, I don't, you know, I can't handle, you know, I can't control that. I'm aware of the fact, though, based on some of the way the questions come out, I can tell by the questions what direction it's going to go. And I do know this. Anytime we do something in a game and it does not work, then, you know, we're open to it. And I think all I was saying was I'm aware it happens, you know. That's it. I'm at peace with that. And then when things work very well and we win games, then we'll talk about other issues. That's all.
That was one of the toughest parts, though, of being an NFL coach that maybe people don't realize when you're making the transition from coordinator. It's usually the head coach who takes the heat for the third and one. You know, you're the one that has to answer for it.
No, I think I understand that's the way it goes, you know, and I understand. And there's not a lot of things easy in the NFL. You know, it's very difficult to do all the things we want to do, so you just keep battling, and we just keep trying to make. And, again, I think I've said this before, you make all your decisions based on trying to win the game. And some of them work extremely well. There's other ones that get done medium. And there's some things that don't work out so great. And so what happens is you continue to keep going. The pass that we talked about, you know, on every down and distance, you can run it or you can throw it, right? That pass that we're talking about on third down against the Buffalo Bills with different people on the field, in the same situation, we completed that pass to Greg Little. And nothing was talked about because it was executed properly. I understand that, right? In the game, that same pass was executed by the Giants against the Cowboys in their week one game, and they got a first down on it. So it's not uncommon to throw the ball on third and one, and I understand that. But anytime anything doesn't work out great, you know, we just all know what happens.
With that play again either, but even since that time, the thing that everyone seems to have the biggest problem with about that play was taking Trent Richardson off the field. I know we've covered this some, but can you kind of, you know, address again why is it no big deal that Trent Richardson would be off the field?
I would say this. Again, he's played in almost 85% of the plays that game, and with Chris Obanai in the game, there was a play he caught a screen pass for 38. So, you know, there's guys in and out of the game all the time, and the defense responds to it differently. And, you know, that's just the way it goes. Because we could have handed Chris the ball with Trent in there. We could have thrown the ball. So, you know, I get that.
Do you view it as almost two separate positions, your first and second down back and a third down back, since Trent's never on the field on third down?
Well, that's not true. He was on the field a few snaps, yeah, and they're going up, right, as we go. So, yeah, I think ideally you want all your best players in there all the time, ideally. Now, the reality of it is you have role players and guys that step in on occasion, and you expect them to perform well, right? So every team will always be susceptible to having to talk about when a role player is in there and doesn't do it right, how come the other guy wasn't in there? That's part of it. I get that. But the guys we put in the game, we expect them to perform well. And that's the important part.
All the guys that are banged up at this point right now, do you feel you have enough roster flexibility, or do you think that there could be a potential where you would have to bring someone in toward the end of the week?
We always look at the roster each week after the game. and we make decisions based on staying pat or making changes. And so we could make roster. We're going to have to make a roster change here that involves Joe Hayden. And sometimes those create other things that happen.
Is there any dynamic to Brandon facing a team for the second time? It's his first time facing, you know, any team for the second time.
Sure.
Does he have any advantage having, you know, played against him and watched film of him twice, or vice versa? Do they have something because they've seen him?
Well, I think it goes both ways. You know, they may have a feel for him. I think any time you're a quarterback, though, and you've had a chance to play against the team, it helps you. And then you factor in the fact that you've improved since the last time you played him. There's things we'll do differently. And even though the matchups are same, the people, the game's played just a little bit different because you played them once before. Go ahead. Go ahead. We got all day. Yeah, I'd anticipate Alex will be there. Right? No follow-up? You good?
But
yeah, I know.
The other day you said you had a long discussion with him, and it made me think of Billy Yates. I didn't know if it was that kind of situation.
Billy Yates.
He played guard here.
We're talking about Alex Smith, our tight end, right?
Right. Yeah. Billy Yates, he suffered an injury, and then he told you he was kind of playing retirement.
Oh, no. I didn't hear anything about retirement in your question. Did you say that?
No, I asked if you thought he played
this season. Okay, this season. Yeah, I'm anticipating he'll play this week. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Is that the...
I'm sorry. Is it either my ears are going bad or something.
Is that one of the hardest things? And this is no specific player, yeah, but with concussions... You know, with knees, you usually have an idea, right, 2 to 4 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks. With concussion, you could have an example with Josh Cribbs, mm-hmm, who bounces right back and plays, and another guy who could be lost for 8 to 10 weeks.
Yeah. Well, it's each injury, you know, in the case of a concussion is technically an injury. They all respond differently, and some guys come back sooner than others.
A couple more guys. Mentally, is Brandon where you thought he'd be after 5 games?
He's improving. Yeah, I mean, he's about where I thought. He's encountered some of the struggles that I anticipated he might, but I'm seeing him improve on his mistakes in a way that I knew he would, and I think that maybe is a few sentence answer to your question.
Yeah, so you never worried about him either being gun shy or letting any of this rattle him?
Nope. I don't think so. I don't think that's the issue at all.
Yeah, what do you notice in Andy Dalton this year that you think he's improved upon from last season when he was a rookie?
Well, you can see he's more confident with more of the skill players he has. He's spreading the ball around. You know, obviously they have A.J. Green, but Gresham and Hawkins, and they have. It feels to me watching the game that he's more comfortable with more of his skill players, and I think that's. That's just a function of being able to work with them.
Hawkins has obviously emerged this season.
Sure.
What has he added to the offense, and how dangerous is he? Obviously, he had a big play.
Well, I think what he gives you is, you know, if you overcommit to AJ, then they have a guy over there that's extremely dangerous. You can throw him the ball, and he gets in the end zone. So anytime you have two players that you feel good about throwing the football to, it makes the defense play a little bit more balanced.
Steve, last one.
You've got a lot of experience as a quarterback's coach because it's such an important position. And you talked about that process that you walk Brandon through. Do you get personally involved in that, or you just let your assistants handle it?
No, I think I'm involved. I'm involved. And, you know, I tend to watch. You always watch the quarterback just a little bit more than everybody else. But the way this thing works is, whether he's hearing it from me, he's hearing it from Brad Childress or Mark Whipple or Chris Beek or whoever, all the people that are talking to the quarterback, we all give him the same message. You know, mine is allowed to have a little more emotion to it. You know, I think that's. But quarterbacks, you know, you got to coach them emotionally a little bit different than, you know, you don't coach them, you know, any less hard. But you just make sure you keep working with him.